Father, we just thank you for who and what you are. And we just commit this next 20 minutes for, as you've given us words about the DR and the music and the worship. Just we pray that whoever needs this that I'm about to give, that it'll just go where it needs to go and sink in. Amen. Joe was talking about how it's different and simple. There are times it's nice to have an iPhone. I preach from an iPhone. I'm overseas. I don't use my iPad because I'm in a third world and the iPhone is pretentious enough. But I do preach from the iPhone. It's nice because if you have notes, you can't see them half the time.
That's right.
And with the iPhone, it gives you the notes. Thursday night, we divided up and went to five churches. And these are little tiny type churches. He went to one. I went to one with another lady, and she spoke, but it was me and her, so she wouldn't be there by herself. We went there. We talked about two lights at the Ojeda service. They had no lights, nothing. And so, luckily, I always carry a little mini flashlight with me. I'm used to going to third world countries, and I gave her my little flashlight, and that's how she read her notes as she preached. And you couldn't see anybody. I mean, it was dark. There wasn't any lights in the house or anywhere. And you just preached by faith that somebody's out there. And so there are some advantages to this. Amen. Let me read to you a quote by Ed Silvoso. Some of you may know him from the 90s, early 2000s. He was probably the greatest evangelist in South America. I don't know if he's still alive, maybe. Might be in his late 70s, 80s. He would preach to stadiums in Argentina. And it changed the nation. People got saved. It changed the government. It was just awesome moves. And so there's a whole history there you can go research on your own. But listen to this quote of the book called Anointed for Business. The reason I'm bringing this in is we've been talking about the six core beliefs of our church. And one of them is the Father's mission. We talked about it last week with Brad. That's short for Brian and Chad. How many of y'all were here? That was fun. If you were here, you know why I said Brad, because my tongue was twisted. But so we're going to continue on this. But listen to him, Ed Silvoso. Demons spend their time in the command centers that control unredeemed businesses, education, and government circles. Bill Johnson said, "You were not born to occupy space. You were born to burn it up." And that is an awesome thing. You were born to burn. I am convinced that the revival, there's lots of predictions about more and more people coming to know the Lord in this secular society. I believe the majority of way those are going to come is outside of these walls. Very few people go to a week-long revival. Very few people go to an arena with a famous Christian unless they're already Christians. The mission field for this century is wherever you're at outside of here. Amen. We talk about business, but some of you are in homemaking. Some of you are in sports and entertainment. Some of you in education. I guess that's a business, but it's a little different twist on it. So when I say business, it's wherever you're at outside of here. I believe God is giving us an anointing to influence those areas, not just to get people saved. He's not just interested in that, but to redeem those businesses to work on kingdom principles. We talked a lot about that last week. I'm not going to repeat it, except real quick. But He wants not just people saved. He wants the world to look like His world. And He is, if you'll believe for it, if you'll ask Him for it, He will anoint you to bring in your little area where you have influence. He may give you more influence. He may make you an employer or supervisor or something else. He will anoint you. He will give you a voice in the classroom. He'll give you a voice in your job. You don't use Christian language, but you can bring His principles in, which brings His presence in. And people will recognize that you've got wisdom, even if you don't even give credit to the Lord. We talked about last week, pray every day or regularly four things. Whether you're a homemaker or in education or business, pray for wisdom. Be the best that you possibly can. pray. You know, I'm a programmer, so I'll use me as an example. Pray every day, Father, make me the best programmer I possibly can be. Father, and then the second thing is revelation. Give me creative ideas on insights on how to do my job better, or if I see somebody struggling, suggestions on how to help them do their job better in a good way, not a controlling way. That's how you start influencing the area around you. The third one is integrity. We talked a lot about this last week. Walk in integrity. You know, Brian talked about his boss dating one of his boss, who's his, this is 15 years ago, his boss who was married, he was working in Atlanta, his boss who was married, having an affair with one of his employees. It's pretty convoluted, isn't it? And you have to walk in integrity and figure out how to do it. Chad talked about he had an opportunity to get a sizable sum of money. It wasn't technically his. And he gave it up and he could have had it. That's integrity. Pray for wisdom, revelation, integrity, and then favor. It says, as we talked about last week, Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. It's something you grow in. We're not going to repeat that. But pray those four things every day. Because I want to tell you, the most exciting things are going to happen outside this place. This is a training center. It is a doing center, but most of the training is for us to do it out there. And one of the things that we need to reverse in our thinking is that there is full-time ministry. Say you're a preacher and you get paid by the church. You're in full-time ministry and I'm not. That is not biblical. There is no basis for it. None of you are even in... I'm not in ministry and you aren't in ministry. The concept, it's, I've often taught it that your place of work, you know, American Facility Services, or Brian's at a place called FLX, or and you're at the box company, and say they're in full-time ministry. No. You are who you are. I think that implies that there's a full-time ministry place and there's a place that you don't minister. It says we're all His sons and His daughters. And you walk through life. And He has given us ministries, but one of them is ministry of reconciliation. That means to help people get back to connect with God. I don't even like the term full-time minister. You are a Christian that's a part of the business of God. And you walk with Him and you're His servants and His sons. Wherever you go, Thanksgiving dinner, lunch in the cafeteria, you're carrying something with you. You're carrying something with you. You've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And you're going to leak something wherever you go. And if we become conscious, I am a leaker wherever I go. It's not like even Box or I don't remember the name of the company you're at, but wherever you're at, it's not like I'm on ministry over here. You are ministry wherever you go. Now, some of us aren't good ministers because what we leak is not good. We're to be the same all the time, all the place, every place. Are y'all grabbing this? You understanding the concept of what I'm talking about? Right now, I'm leaking something. Tomorrow, if you talk to me and I didn't get much sleep and I hadn't had my coffee, I'm going to leak something. Why do I say leak? He calls us vessels. And he says we're like a light inside the vessel. And so sometimes what I leak's not good. Am I in full-time ministry then? No, I'm just a leaker. I'm never in full. I'm to be conscious of where I'm at all of the time, and I'm getting eternal rewards where I'm at all of the time. There's not. You go to work tomorrow, and you're going to say Craig's getting a bigger eternal reward for preaching. You know, I could be preaching, and I'm not supposed to be. I may be preaching because I'm supposed to. It's a habit on Sunday mornings. If it is. And believe me, I pray about it all the time. I need to step down and stop. Because that's not where I'm supposed to be at the moment. When I go and program in a certain language tomorrow, doing a certain website, If I'm doing and walking in the will of God, then I get the same rewards than now. We've gotten this weird mentality. The rewards are based on what we do. No, the rewards are based on are we walking and doing... Well, it is sort of doing, but are we just walking with the Lord and doing what He asks us to do? We don't get a reward for preaching that's higher than a reward for programming. Am I doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing at the moment? That's what our eternal rewards are. And that's how we live. Does that make sense? If you're a plumber, don't try to be a pastor full time. Maybe you do it on the side, but you get my point. If you're be a lawyer, don't go overseas and try to be a missionary. What has God called you to do? Why? This is the key point. It's not what we do. He's here. Habakkuk 2:14 says, I pray that the knowledge of the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the seas. Everything is going to be underwater one day of His glory. Everything. And so you say, well, I'm just XYZ. I'm just a plumber, you know, working for somebody. Or I'm just, you know, working on the dye machine for Shaw. The dye machine is crying out for the glory of the Lord to be in that area. And the employees that are there are crying out for something to give them hope. And you may be the one. I got a word this week. Somebody just texted me a word. They don't go here. And they said, Craig, and I'm just using this as an example because it's not in this church, okay? Craig, you have the ability that when people are around you, you bring out the best in them. I never thought about that. I don't try to do anything different around this person, but we leak. The deal is spend time in the presence of the Lord, walk with Him so that what you leak is Him. Amen. And when it's not, He puts a little check there and you can go, let me go get a paper towel, clean up the leak, and let's start leaking Him. Amen. It's cool. See, He loves the dye machine as much as He loves this place. That place probably needs more of the kingdom, maybe, depends on which dye machine, the kingdom of God principles there than here. Depending on who's there, they may have more of the kingdom of presence there than here. So it's about His presence everywhere. Charles Finney, many of you may have heard of him, a great awakening 250 years ago. Is that the first great awakening? That had been 250 years ago. He was a lawyer that ushered in the great awakening that saved America. America, right after the Revolutionary War, had more alcoholics than we do here now. It was a mess. It would have never lasted 250 years. And the Great Awakening came and saved it. They said when he would come into a town to preach, when he's going to the church building, many of you heard this story, he says he passed a man, this happened all the time, he passed a sewing manufacturing plant, you know, that's working off hydraulics, if I remember correctly. He's walking past, he gets past the main door, all of a sudden they're screaming and hollering in the manufacturing place because the presence of God came in. And they're like, what is this in here? He didn't have to advertise on Facebook the church service that night. That's what I believe God's doing. I mean, marketing's okay, but it's better when He markets it. Amen. And it's just... Let me share this real quick, and then we're going to fly through here in the next 10 minutes. It's this concept of there's no full-time ministry. I don't even like that word because it's been so abused that it means, you know, a pastor or a missionary. So don't even use the word. Say, I'm a Christian, and I am a ministry. Well, hopefully it's always a God ministry. You're always ministering something. Amen? Does that make sense? Because you don't see this concept in the Bible. You did have the tribe of Levi's, which were the priests. So that was there. But you realize that the main characters of the New Testament, go back and read it, the main characters of the New Testament were not the priests, pastors, and prophets. They were ranchers, farmers, fishermen, vineyards, iron workers, carpenters, tax collectors, military police, physicians, judges, sculptors. He called his 12 disciples out of the secular place. See, he didn't look at their job. He looked at what he planted inside of them. We don't turn it on and off. You're ministering all week, whether your mind knows it or not. You're ministering all week something. You can't help it. It's in your DNA. The overwhelming majority of the people in the Old Testament were not from the Levite tribe. David, Daniel, Nehemiah, Esther. Just think about it. Even in the four Gospels, Jesus did 132 public appearances. I did not count these. I'm not that detail-oriented. I got this. 122 of them were outside the synagogue. Why? Because that's where most of the people are. God loves people. Turn over to Luke 10, verse 5. And we're going to talk about what can we do to influence the people around us. We talked about, start off your day praying for four things: wisdom, revelation, integrity, and favor. Two of those God gives: revelation, which is sudden, instant understanding or knowledge, and in favor, He has to give those. You can't get favor. You can do stuff to try to please and placate, but it's not the same as favor. Two of them you have to work at. Wisdom means skill, and integrity, you have to work at that. That's a character thing. It's not given. But let's look at this. We're going to use this Luke 10, 5 through 9. This is Jesus sending His disciples out on an evangelistic mission. I'm going to make this sending us out tomorrow, or today if you're going to work. When you enter a house, first say, "Peace to this house." Verse 6. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Verse 9. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near. So how are you going to apply this to our workplace? Not very well, but I'm going to try. We're going to try to take this as an analogy and apply it. Verse 5. When you enter a house, first say, "Peace to this house." When you enter your area, office, store, wherever, pray peace over it and start looking for someone who has a spirit of peace on them. What does that mean? They're not in conflict with you. There's always people around you in conflict with you, whatever reason. Some of it deserved, some of it undeserved. But Lord, I pray peace around me. Peace in this place. Some of you really need peace in your jobs. And Father, show me another person who likes peace, that maybe is not living in it because it's conflict. Help me to identify with them and start spending time with them. You start at a low common denominator. I'm not saying they're Christians. But look for a man of peace, which is a like spirit that's not trying to cause conflict. And pray peace over the place. Verse 7, stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Well, nobody's going to give you food unless you work for Google or Apple, and we're a long ways from the West Coast. Fellowship, look for opportunities to fellowship with people. I work remote now, so, I will look for Lynn. She's a woman of peace, but that's not what I'm talking about. Look for people around you in the cafeteria or however you take your lunch break or you go to lunch for these men of peace and try to spend time with them there. What's the goal? You're spending time with them not to get them saved, although that's one of the ultimate. You're spending time with them because they're created in the image of God. They have a calling on their life, and God loves them, and you may be the only visible expression of love to them. And love just simply spending time with them. People love to be listened to. You know, years ago I heard about a business. There was a person in New York City. Had a 1-900 line when those lines were popular. I don't even know if they're even in existence. But you'd call them, it'd be like a dollar a minute. Went to your phone bill. The whole line was call and I'll listen. As long as you want to be on the phone. Of course, the guy's making a dollar a minute, $60 an hour. He was booked up. Solid. As much as he wanted to be. How sad is that? Let him come to Doreen's women's group on Thursday. Listen to, but also maybe get some personal love or words of wisdom or knowledge or counseling. That's sad, isn't it? But do that at work. Just eat with them. Have fellowship with them. Even if it goes no other place, that's an eternal reward that has value. We were talking about Brian and Chad last week. Brian, I worked with him since 93, except for the last year. We worked together the entire time. Poor Brian. His rewards in heaven are great. Because there are many times I was just a turkey. But he's good at this. He has a pastor's heart in the workplace. I mean, he has a pastor's heart, but he's in the workplace. People congregate around him. Many reasons. One reason is because he just listened to them. They came to me. I'm getting better. But I would want to give them answers when they were talking. Well, they don't really, maybe down the road, but you just got to listen to them. You know, by the time when they come to me 60 seconds later, I'm giving them four steps to success. Well, nobody wants to hear that. I'm slowly trying to learn. Verse 9. Heal the sick who are there and tell them. Just start caring for them. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, you got to do this at lunch or something or where it's appropriate. He may give you things to encourage them. If the gifts aren't the end, the goal is to reveal Father's heart to them. It may just be simple words of encouragement. I do this at least once or twice a week in my job now. They don't know that's what I'm doing. I'll just listen maybe where they're down or not confident, and then I don't lie, but I say, Lord, what do you see in them? And I'll just share it. Now I'll just say, hey, you know, I see this pattern in your life. And encourage them. You're showing them the love of God. You know, I know they're not praying the prayer, but sometimes we put too much emphasis on that. Yes, we want them saved, but you know, there's a lot of little steps before then. They have to know that God is a good God, that He is worthy to follow, and that He loves them and cares about them. He may even give you, if it's appropriate, if there's enough trust there, a specific word of knowledge, which is something they're struggling with. We could go around this room. People have had those experiences where you go just say, hey, is this happening in your life? And they go like, boom. And they're like, how did you know that? I don't know. I don't usually tell them it's God. It's just an impression that I have that you know, I may say I walk with the Lord and maybe it came from Him. Is it true? When that happens, or even if you're showing love, it shows to them that they're valued. They may be going home to a spouse that's beating them or abusing them or doesn't value them. And you're the only place of hope. I've had that happen to me many times. Over the last 20 years, people go, I just like being around you. They're not even Christians. And I know I'm not that good of a personality because I already told you I like to give the four steps to success. But what they're drawn towards is the kingdom that's inside of you. People are drawn to the kingdom inside of you. And as you grow in that and grow in your relationship with the Lord, they're just going to be drawn towards you and they don't even know why. Lastly, heal the sick, and then the kingdom of God is near you. You may get a chance to tell them about the Lord. Look for a man of peace. That's a like spirit that's not in conflict. Fellowship with them. Look for people's needs and how to meet them. Pray for them outside of the place. Many times you'll pray for them outside the place, and the Lord will show you what they're struggling with. Now, I don't go back and tell them, but I do necessarily, but I do pray. And finally, you may get to lead them to the Lord, or at least tell them about the Lord. Let's stand. That's how the Lord wants to influence the world. Because the world needs it. And they're not going to come in here. this is the struggle we have. Many, you know, often this service is for fairly mature believers. Even this teaching. It's not an evangelistic service. And some churches have an evangelistic service and then one for the believers. We're simply not that big. And so this is the path that we've chosen. But I do so most of the evangelism is going to happen outside of here. Then we come in and we just say, this is a believer service. We'll teach you how to grow and be a disciple and mature. Even though they may not understand everything, I think they can feel the presence of the Lord and feel your love. Hopefully. If not, we'll just keep growing in it. So I'm not going to commission you as a full-time minister. You're going to minister this week. You will minister in 5 minutes from now. You're going to minister in 5 hours. You will, if you use that word minister. Because you're going to leak whatever you are. And so I'm just going to pray we keep getting closer to the Lord so that we leak Him even more. And then we're cognizant of what's happening. Father, I just thank You for every person here. And I thank You that they have been given an assignment. They have been given, as I said last week, their Garden of Eden to till. And I pray each person here is just a great leaker of You. It's a fun thing. Father, right now, I commit to You my week. And everybody and every one of you just agree with it, your own prayer if you want to. Father, I commit to You and give to You my week. I pray that I'll be sensitive to other people around me. That You'll show me who I should talk to more, or who should I spend more time with, who I should eat with, or whatever the context of my work is. To just show them the love of God, which starts out with attention. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer,